NetSuite by Oracle brings accounting, finance, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce costs everywhere. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
A surge of migrants in Del Rio, Texas has led to mass deportations.
There's been a sustained and prolonged arrival of large numbers of migrants. It's a 20-plus year high in terms of illegal border crossings. But in 16 years of covering the border, I've never seen anything even remotely close to this.
Why the Biden administration is facing criticism over its response, and how China is preparing for the collapse of massive property developer Evergrande. Plus, how some companies are attracting mothers back into the workforce. It's Thursday, September 23rd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. In China, authorities are asking local governments to prepare for the potential downfall of Evergrande, China's most heavily indebted property developer. Evergrande has about 800 projects in progress across more than 200 Chinese cities. It faces a series of bond payments in the coming weeks, including a closely watched deadline today. Officials say local governments are assembling accountants and legal experts. They're preparing to take over real estate projects and have police teams ready to monitor public anger if Evergrande fails to meet its deadlines. We'll be following the story and we'll have more on Evergrande in the AM edition of What's News tomorrow morning. News of Evergrande's risk of defaulting on those bond payments has sent the Hang Seng Index into a dive this week. That rippled into global markets, leading to a major sell-off on Wall Street on Monday. But despite warnings over the company's potential collapse, U.S. stocks rose today. Investors were optimistic the trouble could be contained. The Dow rose about 500 points, closing up 1.5%. The S&P 500 gained 1.2%, and the Nasdaq added 1%. In D.C., House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Congress won't let government funding expire next week. It's the first hint that Democratic leaders might decouple funding from a contentious increase in the debt limit. The White House says it expects Congress to prevent a shutdown, but is preparing agencies for the possibility out of an abundance of caution. Current funding runs out on September 30th. President Biden is pushing Democrats to reach a consensus on his $3.5 trillion spending proposal. The bill covers parts of the president's legislative agenda, from expanding access to health care to reducing carbon emissions. Sources say moderates want to bring the spending package to below $3 trillion. Meanwhile, progressive Democrats are threatening to block a separate $1 trillion infrastructure bill if it comes to the House floor before the larger spending package. And the U.S. Special Envoy for Haiti, Daniel Foote, has resigned in protest over the Biden administration's decision to conduct large-scale deportations of Haitian migrants at the border. In a letter dated Wednesday, Foote called the deportations inhumane, citing poverty, gang violence, and government corruption in Haiti. He also accused administration officials of distorting or ignoring his recommendations. State Department spokesman Ned Price disputed Foote's characterization, saying the administration had held multiple high-level conversations on Haiti in which all proposals, including those from Special Envoy Foote, were considered. Coming up after the break, we'll talk more about the migrant crisis at the border.
This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years. A lot has changed, but one thing that remains constant, including the different types of durable income and portfolios, can help investors meet their goals. With expertise across income and alternatives, Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
In recent weeks, as many as 16,000 migrants, many originally from Haiti, have made their way to the small border city of Del Rio, Texas, looking for asylum. They created makeshift camps under a bridge near the Rio Grande, but the situation quickly overwhelmed local resources in the town of 35,000 people. The Biden administration has sent hundreds of agents from Customs and Border Protection to the area to both process the migrants and try to take back control of the border. Though the administration has said in its public statements that nearly all of the Haitians would be sent back to their home country, according to officials, it has also been allowing many to stay in the U.S. to pursue their asylum claims. But the mass deportations and the overall handling of the situation have sparked criticism from both Republicans and Democrats, and there are still thousands of migrants who remain in flux. Joining me now with more are Wall Street Journal immigration reporters Alicia Caldwell and Michelle Hackman. Thank you both for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Alicia, let's start with you. You are in Del Rio right now and have been reporting along the border this week, talking to migrants. What is the situation on the ground in Del Rio right now?
Right now, things are somewhat calm, as calm as they can be. Hundreds of migrants are still being released at the local shelter here in Del Rio, which is a bit of a misnomer. It's a respite center. No one stays overnight. Folks get dropped off by Border Patrol or ICE and then get on charter buses and head into the interior of Texas, typically Houston, and go to a transit center and then on into the interior of the U.S., usually by plane or bus. Around town, active presence of Border Patrol, Texas Department of Public Safety. You're seeing helicopters. The encampment still remains under the bridge. It's dramatically smaller today. It's about 4,000 people. But the footprint of law enforcement is still there, and you can see it from the border fence line, which is, I'm guessing, a quarter to half a mile from the actual encampment. The international border here remains closed, and there's no end in sight. My guess is once the last migrant is out from under the bridge, they'll reopen that bridge.
And Michelle, there's been some confusion about how migrants are getting from Haiti to the U.S. border. Can you clarify that situation for us?
So there's this misconception that people are coming straight from Haiti and somehow getting themselves to Mexico. And for the most part, we actually don't believe that's true. You know, there was a wave of migration starting about 10 years ago after the really big earthquake in Haiti, where a bunch of people left the island. You know, their houses got destroyed. They lost any chance of being able to work and went to countries in South America, typically Chile, Brazil, and got jobs, in many cases got some kind of work visa and worked there. And what happened is during the pandemic, Latin America saw the worst economic contraction anywhere in the world. And a lot of those people lost their jobs, in many cases lost their, you know, legal paperwork to be in those countries. And so it triggered another wave of migration, this time headed to the U.S., you know, where our economy is doing quite well, where we actually have a labor shortage and there are a lot of open jobs and where a lot of migrants know that other migrants have had some success getting in, and the president is maybe a little bit more lenient than the last president. You know, that's a perception that's out there. And what we've seen is that there's a real callback mechanism. You know, we've seen Haitians coming all year, but we are told and we believe that there's a really strong effect of people just seeing, you know, on social media, a friend I know, you know, who left Chile before me got into the United States and now she's living in Miami. So maybe I'll try next.
And Michelle, what can you tell us about the Biden administration's efforts to deport migrants from Del Rio? How are officials deciding who can stay and who's being sent back to Haiti or elsewhere?
They haven't been at all transparent about that. From what we've been able to glean, they've sent 9 deportation flights from Sunday through yesterday. We believe another 6 have gone out today. And it seems as though, from conversations we've had with officials, that they are prioritizing single adults to put on those flights, but some families are being sent as well. You know, we had a reporter actually go meet some of the deportees in Port-au-Prince, and he reported seeing families with young children. But most families with young children, pretty much all pregnant women, are being allowed to stay in the United States. And the big thing is, you know, if you're allowed to stay, that means you're also allowed to pursue an asylum claim, which is what most of these people were intending to do.
And as many migrants along the border are in limbo, Alicia, you found that many of them are going back and forth between Del Rio and Mexico. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, early on, folks, yeah, we're crossing back and forth, getting supplies. I saw a lot of people carrying diapers, food, water, soda, bags of ice. By Tuesday, the back and forth had seemed to slow. The government said, Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, said earlier this week that was a calculated decision to allow that to proceed. But the inflow has just about ended. You have an untold number of people who have left the camp and abandoned hopes of entering the U.S. and gone back to Mexico. administration officials this morning said they estimated several thousand people had made that choice. I talked to people who had gone back to Mexico who said enough. There was no food. There was no water. Things were getting dangerous. I'm not going to do this. I can't risk going back to Haiti.
Let's talk about the criticism the Biden administration has been under for this crisis. Michelle, what have you been hearing?
You know, it's really frustrating for a lot of people on the left watching this administration because Biden came in and he really campaigned, as far as immigration goes, really campaigned on reversing pretty much everything that Donald Trump stood for. He promised to run a more, you know, he always uses the words orderly and humane immigration system. He called Trump's, you know, imprint on the immigration system a national stain. And yet, you know, he's really leaning on this classic Trump era authority that people call Title 42, which, you know, they claim is a public health law that allows them to immediately sort of deport or expel migrants without giving them any chance to ask for protection. There are a lot of lawsuits over that. And I think this is really the boiling point we've seen, that the administration was willing to use this authority on Haitian migrants and deport them back to a country where there is no government, where there aren't really many resources to even address the population that's already there. You know, there's widespread hunger, poverty, violence. And I think the other thing that's happening is that, you know, this administration had also promised to pursue immigration reform in Congress. And we saw last week that that effort basically all but failed in Congress. You know, the parliamentarian said that they couldn't use a special process that only requires 50 votes to pass immigration reform. And now, you know, the White House is feeling like really intense pressure to try to figure out an alternative way to make that work.
And yesterday, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki defended the administration's use of that public health measure. She also said the administration is committed to implementing a humane and orderly immigration system, but said that it needs Congress to act for that to happen. Alicia, what are you hearing, especially from migrants, about the administration's handling of what's going on right now?
You know, early in the year, people were saying, you know, Mr. Biden, let us in. You're a good guy. Let us in. Let us in. You said you would, you know, be nice to us. I'm not hearing the specific call-outs, but there's a real sense of frustration of, you know, again, talking to people who had left the camp saying, they're deporting us now. So I'm going to be back here. It's not safe there. It's safer here, even though I don't know where I'm going or what I'm going to do next. I would just offer that, you know, again, there's been a sustained and prolonged arrival of large numbers of migrants. It's a 20-plus year high in terms of illegal border crossings. But in 16 years of covering the border, I've never seen anything even remotely close to this, both in volume and just sort of the totality of what we're seeing here.
That's Wall Street Journal immigration reporters Alicia Caldwell and Michelle Hackman. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, work has been challenging for many parents during the pandemic, especially for mothers. About 3.5 million women living with school-age children lost their jobs, took time off, or left the workforce completely last year, according to the U.S. Census Bureau data. But companies need workers, and some are going to great lengths to hire mothers. For example, Amazon is offering something called returnships, kind of like internships for people who have left the workforce. Here's Joanne Lublin, former career columnist at The Wall Street Journal and the author of the recent book Power Moms, How Executive Mothers Navigate Work and Life.
The whole idea here is it's essentially a multi-month paid tryout in a professional role, at the end of which, if you prove you've got the right stuff, you get hired permanently. The real issue that has often been one that has been facing parents who step out of the workforce is when they resume their careers, they often cannot go back in at the same level where they left. And that's another thing that's kind of cool about this Amazon program. Each returnee is matched with a mentor, and the mentor essentially acts as their tour guide for not only understanding what the job is that they're doing as a returnee, but the culture and of this company.
And these programs are growing. Career consulting firm iRelaunch says 32 Fortune 500 companies are offering them now, and they expect that number to more than double in the next 5 years. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.